It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 135 years ago this week, George Westinghouse Jr. did something that had a profound impact on the labor industry. No, it was not a new invention or company. What Westinghouse gave his workers was a half day on Saturday, telling them to pursue their interests and take some time off. Here to tell us more about this moment in history is Ann Mataraz. She's Vice President of the Museum Division of the Heinz History Center. Ann Mataraz, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks for coming out and talking to us today.
So what prompted George Westinghouse Jr. to give his workers a half day off on Saturdays?
I think there's a variety of reasons that Westinghouse made the decision. I think in general, Westinghouse believed in honesty, in fairness, and he truly believed from what he had seen and observed that if you treated your workers fairly and you treated them right, they would actually work harder for you, they would do better work, and you would be more successful as a business.
Now, we're talking about something that happened in the 1800s. This was not a time when the movers and shakers of industry really showed a lot of concern for the welfare of their workers. What does this say about George Westinghouse Jr.?
I think one of the things that's most fascinating about Westinghouse is if you think about the neighborhood that he lived in what's now Point Breeze, he's a next-door neighbor to H.J. Heinz, who shares some of these same ideas, but across the street from them is Henry Clay Frick, who's very different in his vision of how you treat your workers, what you get out of them, and what you offer to them. So kind of in this milieu of Pittsburgh where you've got the steel industry where that runs 24 hours a day, 12-hour turns, 7 days a week, and your vision is to get as much out of the people on the factory floor as you can and to give as little to be as successful as possible. You know, Heinz and Westinghouse had a very different vision about business, and it says a lot about who they were as people, their belief systems, kind of what was at their core, and what kind of men and managers they were.
How did the operation of George Westinghouse's father's company affect the way that Junior ran his own company?
George Jr. always said that he watched his father and how he treated his workers when he worked as a young man for his father in his steam engine manufactory. And that was part of his, kind of the core of his business practices and management system. He truly felt that if you gave workers a clean, well-lit workspace, if you encouraged them to tinker and try their own ideas, if you supported them in their careers, you would get paid back with better work, happier workers, people who would stay and work for you. So Westinghouse always said at the core of the way he managed his giant company were the lessons he learned from his father.
Is that George we're hearing in the background there?
Yeah, a little bit of sound here from our innovation exhibit where you can come in and meet George Westinghouse in his office and have him talk to you.
Yeah, explain this, because I'm looking at him right now. He's staring at me,
right.
And the eyes are blinking like, what am I looking at here? This is, it's interesting and fascinating and yet disconcerting all at once.
This is a interactive we developed with the ETC at CMU for our Pittsburgh A Tradition of Innovation exhibit. And Westinghouse is such a fascinating guy that we didn't just want to have something that embodied, you know, 200 words about him. So you can actually come in and touch things on his desk and you can get to more than 200 different questions that you can ask Westinghouse. So you touch the scrapbook on his desk and photos will come up. You can touch one of those. He'll talk about them. You can go to chapters in a book about his life, his journal, and you can find out all about his business practices and his relationships with employees like we talk about today. So it's a way that once you activate the desk, the screen and the Westinghouse on screen actually answers your questions.
And there is, I presume it's an actor who looks remarkably like George Westinghouse, who has the answers at the ready.
Right, and built into the desk is actually original photography from Westinghouse's life and work and period and family, all kinds of advertisements. So it's a really dynamic way to interact with Westinghouse and his legacy.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm talking with Ann Mataraz, who is Vice President of the Museum Division at the Heinz History Center. We're talking about the George Westinghouse Jr. exhibit, and particularly his innovation for his workers, which was the start of what came to be known as the weekend. How popular was the Westinghouse weekend model before Henry Ford created the weekend model that we know today?
Well, it was certainly popular with Westinghouse's workers, and it's just one of the things, the benefits that Westinghouse offered to the people that worked with him. So it's not just the 5.5-day work week, it's the 9-hour day as opposed to the 12-hour day. It's pensions, it's retirements, it's some measure of insurance and benefits, things that we take for granted today that were very revolutionary in his time. You know, a dozen years after Westinghouse started this weekend system, you had the Homestead Steel Strike. So, you know, this is not something that they were adopting in other industries necessarily. It is something that has precedent elsewhere in the world, and that's one of the things about Westinghouse and Heinz. As they traveled abroad building their global businesses, they went into factories and plants around the world, and they studied German methods of employee management and saw what was going on in Russian plants and in Great Britain. And they brought back some of what they thought would be the best, and maybe not even necessarily the best for their workers, but the best for their business. So some of this was done very clearly because they were fair men who believed in running a virtuous business, kind of some of those Christian principles of that Victorian era. But some of it is an acknowledgement that they were good businessmen, and they saw things that made businesses succeed elsewhere around the world, and they brought some of those ideas back here to the United States in Pittsburgh.
So we know that Westinghouse's workers liked this. Organized labor was happy with this. What about some of the other corporate leaders? Were they worried? Did they say anything to George Westinghouse Jr., you know, along the lines of, you know, George, if you start doing this for your employees, our employees are going to expect this of us?
Yes, and I think I love to think about, you know, who was getting invited to the dinner parties in those estates on Fifth Avenue up and down Millionaire's Row, those people living there, and how much people like Frick and others in those heavy, intensive industries were disappointed and not happy at all with Westinghouse and some of the decisions that people like he and Heinz were making about worker relations. They didn't feel it was good for business, and they felt it was going to cause labor unrest. They felt it was going to cause people on the factory floor to have the expectation that that they could get more.
And what did people like Westinghouse say in response?
Westinghouse truly believed, and this is something he said to J.P. Morgan and the bankers when he was in difficulty, he truly believed the decisions he was making, whether they directly benefited Westinghouse, or, you know, he was the first to run an electrical apprentice training system. And his apprentices, the program became so popular, he couldn't employ all the people that he was training. And Morgan said, what are we even doing this for? We ought to get rid of this. This is crazy. And he said, no, those people are going to go out into the world, and they're going to know how to use our products better than anyone else. So in the end, even though it doesn't seem it's going to benefit us directly, it will benefit us. They'll know that how we do things, they'll know we'll do them right, and it'll bring business back to our door. So he had a much bigger vision for the kind of ancillary benefits of these benefits than people like J.P. Morgan and H.C. Frick had.
You know, I think anybody that comes to this exhibit is going to really admire Westinghouse, if they didn't already, just for these kinds of insightful innovations. And I don't know if they had ways of measuring productivity or the benefit of having a policy like this for workers, but what were they able to ascertain about not only how this benefited the workers, but how it benefited the company?
I think one of the things that's hard with looking at Westinghouse, and for historians who study him, is he didn't want a whole lot of attention for himself. He didn't save a lot of his personal papers, but a lot of what we know about him comes from the people that worked for him. And on the 50th anniversary of his death, they compiled a huge, that's here in our archives, huge responses. You know, people were asked to remember George Westinghouse. And the things that the people that worked there said about him show that this is a company that retained its workers. This is a company that had successful workers. And the fact that the company stayed in business, in fact, is still in business today, is a testament to his genius. You know, most people around the world know Westinghouse as the name on a refrigerator or a toaster oven or a television or something that's not associated with a man. But for us, we know that there was a person here whose legacy lives on even today. And I think that, in a sense, shows that in a very big way, a lot of what he believed in about the way you did business has been proved correct.
Talking about George Westinghouse and his innovation known as the Weekend. Everybody's working for the weekend. Ann Mataraz is Vice President of the Museum Division at the Heinz History Center, where this exhibit continues until?
Forever.
Forever. It's infinite. Ann Mataraz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
More Central Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.